You're listening to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm the host, Karagat Warner, and it's my mission to share those stories that celebrate our passion for making and yarn crafting and what keeps us going down that path. This episode was brought to you by Barocco, one of the largest importers and wholesalers of hand-knitting yarns, patterns, and supplies in the United States and Canada. Barocco's range of specialty yarns are imported from countries around the world, and they publish an extensive range of books and patterns for both knitting and crochet. To learn more, visit barocco.com. Hey, Power Pearlers. Welcome to another episode of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm Karagat Warner, the host. And today I am joined by Jess Cook, who works as a virtual assistant with an emphasis on content creation. She writes blog posts, email newsletters, website copy, and educational content for creative business owners, most of whom who work in the fiber arts industry. Her clients include Tara Swiger, who's been a guest on the show, Gwen Bortner, Deb Robson, Ply Magazine, and yours truly. Jess is also an avid knitter, spinner, crocheter, and sewist. Jess, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's kind of weird to be on this side of the episode instead on the back side of it.
I know it is because you work all the magic behind the scenes for Power Pearls Podcast. So I get to like spend more time doing this, getting behind the microphone, researching, you know, great guests for the show and all the other crazy things that, you know, I'm all over the place. But you help steer me in the right direction, and I really appreciate that. So you're not just a virtual assistant, and as you call yourself, a project manager, which is so true. There's so many different levels. We'll talk about this. So many different levels of, you know, where people stand, whether they want to be a virtual assistant, which is more like administrative, or you're handling bigger projects. And like with us and with others that you work with, you kind of toggle back and forth between the spectrum, of being a virtual assistant and a project manager, because you know that involves really being able to take something and running with it and using your skills and your expertise about a subject and being able to, let's say, write about it in a newsletter, write in that the voice of that person, write the show notes for Power Pearls Podcast, which, man, you just were up and running. As soon as you started, you're like, yep, got it. Good. Done. So, and then batching, you know, that's a big part of it. And really being able, I don't want to use the word multitask, so let's just forget that. But batching is where it's at. And you are the queen of batching. So I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to let you fill in the gaps and talk a little bit about what it is that you do, Jess, and how, you know, your background, who you are, and how you got into this.
Sure. Well, what I do is I call myself a virtual assistant because it's really hard to come up with another word that people are familiar with. And I've discovered that's what somebody Googles or whatever, you know, it's easier to say. So, but like you said, yeah, I've moved on into taking on bigger projects now for my clients. A lot of my clients I've been working for 4 or 5 years now. So I've really kind of grown with their business and my role has grown as we've worked together. So now I do mostly offer content work. So I will basically take that whole piece of the business puzzle off of your plate and do it for you. And the business owner can be as much or as little involved as he or she wants. So some people like Tara, she's a content creator. I mean, that's kind of her bread and butter. So she writes her own content and I go through and edit it and make it into the right formats and make sure that it's, you know, being plugged in all the right places. And in her business, I actually supervise another VA who does a lot of that kind of plugging in sort of jobs too. Or like in your case, because obviously nobody's going to make the Power Pearls podcast besides you, the actual podcasting. So you create your content and then I can take it from there and make it go everywhere it needs to go and be sent to all the right people so that you can focus on making more episodes. So content is my number one piece that I do. A lot of newsletters or blog posts or even ebooks and online classes for people who want to branch out into that area. And then sometimes I do, you know, more project management type of things where I'm managing a whole team, or, you know, if we're doing some kind of research and the business owner wants to know what's the best email marketing software for my business, or should I switch my social media scheduler, or how do I get my class materials into an online format? So I'll do a lot of that kind of stuff too, where I sort of take the question and find the best answer and put it all together into a to-do list so that we can make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about working with you, because a couple weeks ago we jumped on a call, and this is something that I think we'll probably do once a month, you know, and take an hour out of, you know, from the other areas, kind of swap that with FaceTime so that we can talk about the newsletter, let's say, like what's coming up on the podcast, so that you can kind of create bullets, or, you know, sort of like a timeline, like here's what's going on, bang, bang, bang. And these are things that we can talk about in the newsletter. So like you are now really taking the bull by the horns with the Power Pearls newsletter, but it's like totally like in my voice, it's what I want to communicate to the audience. And that's, you know, it's been amazing because now we're able to go to a weekly newsletter, which is awesome. So then the other, and then also with the show notes. And so this was new territory for you. And, you know, and it's like someone that, so maybe we're getting a little bigger picture. Like some people might just want to be like, I just want to maybe be like an administrative assistant kind of VA, but you are basically taking the interviews, listening to them, and then fleshing out the show notes. But then I know for Tara, you know, you don't do her show notes because it's mostly copy and paste, right?
Right.
Because she does mostly solo episodes. Like with interviews, it's harder because I can't be typing while I'm, you know, talking. You know, I can't predict what they're going to say. Right. It's different for my Facebook Lives because those are easier because I'm kind of fleshing out my talking bullets. But I don't really turn a whole lot of those into podcasts.
Right.
For this, I'm just using this example because someone that wants to just, you know, they want to get in, they want to get their toes wet, you know, they want to get into becoming a virtual assistant, mostly on the administrative side, they could take show notes or they could take something like that. And that's more easy copy and paste to kind of format and set something up or put together spreadsheets or a content calendar, right? Based on someone's ideas. So those are the types of things that I'm thinking might be a great place to start. So let's just kind of back up a little bit. So we know kind of big picture what it is that you do now. But when you started out, was it like that? I mean, you had to really hone your craft, right? So did you start out more or less like you were like an administrative assistant and help people in that respect? And then you built your expertise along the way. So kind of tell me how that progression started from the square, like when you just got into it. What was it like?
Well, my very first job was actually as a, that was similar to this and got me started, was actually an in-person job. So I had a friend who I met locally through a knitting group, because we all know you can have magical connections when you're a knitter. Things just work out like this sometimes. So she found out I knew how to sew, and she ran an Etsy shop-based business out of her home, and she really needed help doing a lot of the sort of back-end preparation and production work. And so she hired me part-time to come to her house a few days a week and start working for her. And it was doing that that made me realize how cool it was to be part of a creative business, but not the person running the creative business. Because at that same time, I was, back then, I was doing storied yarn. So I was an indie dyer. And so I was running my own Etsy shop and then helping her on the back end of her Etsy shop. And I just realized I get the fun of being part of this kind of really cool and innovative business structure, but not the pressure of being the person who has it all on their shoulders.
Right.
And so, you know, I started thinking about, you know, maybe it's time to let go of the yarn dyeing. It's taking too much effort, giving me too much stress, not enough reward. And at the time, I was hoping to just expand my work for Candace, that business owner, but she was moving to a whole different state. And so it kind of got me left in a place where I wasn't really sure where I wanted to go. But at the time, I had actually joined Tara Swiger's business membership club, the Starship, for my yarn business, hoping to use it to grow my yarn business. And so I just, you know, I came to the forums there and I said, you know, I'm really struggling struggling with this. I'm not sure what to do. I wish I could make my part-time job full-time, but it's not working out. And Tara said, that's a job. It's, you know, virtual assistant. That's a thing that you could do for other business owners, you know, through the internet. You wouldn't have to do it in person. And she said, and you know what? I've been thinking of hiring a virtual assistant, so maybe you could work for me. So yeah. She was my very first client. And all my other initial clients were also either Starship members or a connection from a Starship member. And so, yeah, I started out doing more administrative backend stuff. Like for Tara, I would take her content and just edit it for grammar and clarity types of mistakes, and then plug it into her WordPress website for her. And back then she didn't have the podcast, but she was doing blog posts regularly and email newsletters. So it was more just editing and revising types of things and helping to schedule appointments for her one-on-one consultations that she was doing, or putting together, you know, contracts for in-person speaking events and stuff like that. And for a few of my very first clients, I actually was creating content because they just, you know, I had an app developer, for instance, who wanted a blog to go with her business, but she was working full time on building the app. So she needed somebody else to create blog posts. So I did that for her for a good while. And, you know, so it was sort of a little bit of everything, but there's definitely plenty of work in that sort of administrative. If you can familiarize yourself with a few key software programs and apps, you can really just do a whole lot of copying and pasting and just very basic editing for spelling and grammatical mistakes, scheduling and maintaining spreadsheets and stuff like that. There's plenty of work like that out there that business owners need. And in many cases, it's easier for a business owner to give away some of those tasks that are very administrative and more simple, because they don't feel like they're just handing over their whole business to a new person. So that's a really great foot in the door kind of an opportunity to start working with some creative business owners.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like you said before, when you were saying, you were talking about the things that you're good at, and then Tara said, well, that's a job. You guys, think about the things that you do that you don't even think about. You're like, yeah, that's just what I do, you know, but that could be a skill that someone else just doesn't have, you know, in their frame of reference, mm-hmm. that they can't really wrap their brain around, that you can provide as a service. Another thing that you said that was really important, and I wanted to just kind of emphasize, there it is. You know, the value of joining places like the Starship, mm-hmm. and going where the people you want to work with hang out. So that's a hard one, because you think, how can I find work? So you kind of stay in your own little mind bubble, right? I do this myself. Like, mm-hmm. you don't think out of that, meaning put yourself in their shoes, in the shoes of, well, where would I go if I was in a business like this? And then that's where, you know, you want to hang out. But in your case, Jess, like, you joined the Starship. I mean, it's a great place for anybody to join in business. But at the same time, you're like, hey, there are also people that could become my potential clients, mm-hmm. right here in this place. Right. So yes, you guys, if you're going to buy a membership or pay for some kind of group coaching, remember that there could also be, you don't want to promote your services,
right.
But you can start having conversations, and they organically mm-hmm. grow into those conversations that you can't know until you start having those conversations.
Right.
Because that was the thing, what I was going to say is, how do you find work? So are there other, aside from that, let's say someone, you know, like, where would they, square one, what other places could they look to find work in this
sure.
area?
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, there are free groups too, like Facebook groups, for instance, with creative business owners in them, and people are very often posting in there, I'm thinking of hiring a virtual assistant, but I don't know how to get started, and you can speak up and say, hey, I do that. I think the key really is to find a niche of some sort. So for me, that was not only sort of the content background, because I have a degree in English and 2 education degrees. So the whole idea of creating educational content is part of my natural skill set, you know, but also knitting is just as valuable to my job because I speak that language of the knitters. And so I can work for someone like you and I know what you're talking about if you start using technical terms, you know. And so if you have a hobby like that, then you can start looking into, you know, most of the people listening are probably knitters or crocheters. So if you look at designers that you love or, you know, yarn stores that you love, go to your local yarn store and say, hey, would you ever think of getting some help with your social media or your email newsletter? Or better yet, in many cases, I notice you don't have an email newsletter. Can I make one for you? You know, because a lot of these business owners are just, they don't think about the fact that they could hire someone else to do some of these things. It's just a forever on the someday I'll get to that to-do list, and they never do. So sometimes you just have to sort of put yourself in front of them and say, hey, I noticed that you were talking on social media about how busy you are, or in your last newsletter you mentioned that it took you a month to write it because you just don't have the time. You know, those kind of opportunities exist all over the place if you can be open to them. And it's also important just to let other people know, hey, I'm doing this. If you know someone or hear something, let me know. Because I got my job working for Ply Magazine because someone I had met at a knitting retreat knew that this is what I do for a living. And when JC posted in the Ply forum, like, I'm going crazy, I think I need to hire help, my friend said, oh, Jess does that. And she earburned me to that thread on Ravelry. And that's how I got the job working for JC. So you just, they're all over the place, but they're kind of, you know, kind of all over the place. So you have to be willing to look everywhere for these opportunities to have a conversation.
If you're ready to create a holistically balanced life and business that converges creativity with mindful living, and you're not afraid of making money, working hard, and have the drive to succeed, then sign up now for my free 30-minute business coaching discovery session by going to powerpearlspodcast.com/free-strategy-session. You'll learn some basic strategies and we'll see if working together is a good fit. Let me help structure a comprehensive program to pave your creative business path. Visit powerpearlspodcast.com/free-strategy-session to sign up today. Back to what you said about your niche. That's a really big one because I think that sometimes we forget, like, oh, you know, what it is that I have to offer. Other people are doing it and it's been done and it's like, whatever. Yeah. Sure, but there's definitely a need for it. And the more you're able to niche down, like in our case, in yarn, let's use that as an example, then you can become, a friend of mine just said this to me, because I've been starting to actually do more consulting in the area of podcasting, go figure, because I'm, you know, I'm a geek when it comes to podcasting, helping people start podcasts. Everything from A to Z, you know, what does it take? And in the mainstream space, there are plenty of people doing that. And I'm like, well, you know, when people in your space start looking at you, like my friend said, you're the Yoda of the yarn world.
Right.
As, you know, in so far as podcasting is concerned, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'm onto something. But anyway, that's the thing where in your niche or in this creative niche that we're in, that's where you can become special and, you know, specialized for these things that you're talking about, we've been talking about here, because you are scaling it down and you're not like so mainstream that who are you and where are you going with this? Mm-hmm. And when you understand the culture of what it is that you're doing, you know, this, the industry, that you're working in, like you, Jess, you know, you get knitting. So you understand the kind of people that I'm talking to, talking with, the terms, the lingo, all that stuff. And you're passionate about it.
Right.
So that is easy. So it flows from that place. When it flows from that place, you're going to be a more authentic and it's going to be easier for you to actually do that work.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, I had a jewelry designer contact me and she was looking for some help. And I said, you know what? I'm not your person. You know, like I would love to help you, but I don't know much about people who buy jewelry online. You know, I don't know where to find your people. I don't know what to say to them. Like I have you know, jewelry, but I'm not an avid jewelry customer the way I'm an average yarn customer, or, you know, and so it's really important, and people don't realize it, but yes, you can hire a VA oftentimes from another country for like $8 an hour or whatever, but you're going to get very basic administrative skills and very little specialty. So people are willing to pay more for a VA that they don't have to explain things to. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I've been working with a VA, but she wasn't a knitter, so she didn't know how Ravelry worked, or she didn't know, you know, the terminology. So if I got something wrong, she wouldn't have caught the mistake or anything like that. So, you know, having these skills, even if you think of it as just a hobby, it's actually a huge asset in promoting yourself, you know, as a virtual assistant.
Absolutely. So we covered, you know, how to find work, you know, we were pretty comprehensive about that. So what about pricing?
Sure.
You know, that's going to be a question that comes up. I know this could be like a whole podcast in and of itself.
Right.
So what about that? Like, how would someone go about pricing what they do?
It has to be... It's a strange sort of a combination, but it has to be something you're comfortable with, because I've discovered in the past, if I've taken on work where I'm doing a whole lot for not very much money, then I start to resent that work, right? Mm-hmm. And you put it off, or you don't put your best effort in, because every time you sit down, you just think, ugh, I can't believe I agreed to this project or something. And you know, that's not fair to you, but it's also not fair to the person who hired you, because that's, you know, you agreed to that price. So you really need to think about, okay, what will make me feel, you know, comfortable and happy to do the work I'm doing? Most people, I would say, start off as a virtual assistant at an hourly rate. And so if that's where you want to go, then you have the right to say, okay, this is my fee per hour, but you also have to hire me for a minimum number of hours per week or per month. And that's how you can make sure that your budget is covered. Because if you say, let's say $20 an hour is what you're going to hire, you know, offer your services for, and then people are only using 15 minutes a week or something like that, then you're probably not making ends meet at that point. So it's also okay to say, you know, what your minimum is. For a lot of VAs won't work for fewer than, you know, 5 hours a week even, or something like that. So I will say, you know, it depends on the level of things that you're offering. So, and your level of expertise with certain tools. So if you are just starting out and you're pretty new and you're going to have to learn email marketing software, and you're going to have to learn WordPress or Google Docs or Dropbox or any of those things, then you probably want to charge a little bit lower, you know, somewhere around maybe $10 or $15 an hour. And that doesn't have to be forever, but that's how mm-hmm. I started. And once I got good and I got to the point where my clients were referring me to other people and I suddenly had more offers than hours in the day, then I could say, okay, I'll work for you, but my price just doubled. You know, I mean, I didn't mm-hmm. necessarily mm-hmm. tell them that it was double what it had been, but you know, you raise your prices once you've got the experience to make it worth that. But if you already have expertise in email marketing software or WordPress, or, you know, maybe the podcasting software, if that's going to be where you want to niche down, and you already know Libsyn or anything else that people are using for podcasting, or you're a pro with YouTube or something like that, then you can add to your price point and charge more like $20 or $25 an hour, even if you're still just starting, because you have a certain level of expertise and you can hit the ground running and do the work really well the first time. But I have worked with other virtual assistants before, and, you know, I've worked with two other virtual assistants where, you know, my clients have hired them to do some of the more administrative tasks, and they were both charging $25 an hour, and one of them needs very little direction and can just, you know, you give her a project and she gets it done and it's just what you asked for, and the other one was struggling a lot more. And I thought, you know, same price, but the job isn't being done as well, or whatever. So you really have to just kind of make sure that your skill set is going to match up with what you're asking somebody to pay you.
Yeah, because then you're going to be more confident in the work that you produce.
Right.
So some of the thoughts, because these might be more questions that come up. So what about certification? Do you need anything like that? Or I don't think that's the case, but that might be a question. So
sure.
What do you have to say about something like that?
I think that can help depending on the business, especially the industry that you're in. I don't have any of that. I have two graduate degrees, which some of my clients, you know, like that side of things or whatever. They can say, you know, this online course was made by someone with an educational specialist degree in curriculum and instruction, and it sounds really fancy, you know, but I don't have like Microsoft certification or any of those kind of things, but it can definitely help you. If that helps you feel like you can call yourself an expert because you've gone through a program and checked off those boxes and you have that documentation, then I say go for it. But don't feel like, oh, well, I can't do this because I haven't been certified or, you know, any of that. As long as you have experience in those areas and you have reasonably been able to produce, you know, content from those programs or whatever, then I don't think you need to be certified in any of that. So, I mean, again, but it just depends. If I were doing more financial type stuff, I would probably want more sort of verifiable certification and something like that. But since I stay entirely away from accounting and all of that kind of thing, then I don't worry about it as much.
So, and then what about websites? So we can talk a little bit about that because, you know, I think when you are getting yourself started, even after you're established, to have that website or even just a web page of some sort, like a splash page that maybe you have testimonials. I think that's a good thing to like ask all your, once you start working, ask for testimonials from people that you worked for. But even if you don't have them and, you know, you're just starting out, to have a really nice, splash page, splash page. And that many times, you know, now with, you know, with website templates that are easy, drop and drag, kind of templates, lead pages, you can create, you know, nice splash pages. So what do you think about that? Do you think that that is a, you know, a crucial piece to the puzzle to getting started? Or can someone, you know, just kind of get on Ravelry and start having conversations and just have an email? And like, what do you think?
Sure.
Just to get started, let's say if they wanted to do it like today and get the balls, you know, in the air, the wheels.
Right. I got started without any of that, but that was, you know, kind of probably a unique situation in that I had Tara sitting there across the computer screen ready to hire me because she already had a relationship with me through the Starship. So, and in those cases, if you can get going with just one client and work with that one client and then ask them to, you know, keep you in mind if they're talking to other business owners who are looking to hire and things like that. You maybe don't need a website, but it definitely cannot hurt. And it really helps even just with, if somebody, you know, if Tara, let's say, is out there and she says, oh yeah, my VA Jess is awesome, you know, then somebody needs a way to contact me. And, you know, so it would be easier if she could just send them to a website and they could see a little bit more about me, because I find, you know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking when you're thinking of hiring your very first VA or your very first employee. You have no idea what it's going to cost or what's involved. You probably want to do a little internet poking around before you actually call someone and say, let's talk about working together, you know. So it's definitely helpful to have something for people to look at to see just what services you offer and, you know, what your price range is and what you've done in the past, or maybe if you have an educational background you want to share, things like that. But you can do that on a free blog if you want. For a couple of years I just had my website on, you know, WordPress.com instead of a regular website. You know, it wasn't JessCookOnline.com back in those days or whatever. And it worked just fine for a while. And when I started to up my game, I just decided to go ahead and bite the bullet and pay for the web hosting and build an actual website for my business to make it that much more professional. But it's not absolutely necessary if you haven't made any money yet and the thought of dropping, you know, $100 or more on web hosting for a year kind of scares you, then you can get started with just maybe making a Facebook page for your business and having people go there, or, you know, setting up a free blog type site and putting your portfolio online that way. So there's plenty of ways to do it without investing a whole lot of money up front. But I definitely would have something where people can see hopefully a picture of your face and, you know, a contact information and just some basic details about your skills.
Well, that's great advice. Thank you so much. I think this, you've provided some really actionable, practical steps for people listening that might want to get into this. Because I know that, you know, there have been some Power Pearls listeners who have reached out to me and asked that very question. So I'm so happy that you came on. It was awesome because we have this relationship. And, you know, you guys, it's so doable. If you're willing to, like, put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it just takes a few simple steps to get started, but, you know, really just don't be afraid to get started. That's really the key. And you just have to start small and then you organically grow from there and you never know who you're going to meet. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So Jess, how can people learn more about you and what you do?
Well, they can visit my website, which is just jesscookonline.com. And I guess I'll add that to the show notes later. So it'll be there when they come to, if they want to come to the Power Pearls website, they'll be able to click a link. And I've got, I have a real big girl website now with my testimonials and package prices and things like that on there. So, people can find out more. If you have a fiber arts business and you've been feeling like you're just never getting around to that newsletter, or your blog has been collecting cobwebs for a few months or anything like that, I'm happy to help.
Well, great. Well, thanks for joining me today, Jess.
Sure. Thank you for having me. It's all always right. Fun to talk to you.
Yes. All right. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that about does it, you guys. Another episode in the bag, and I hope that you enjoyed it. Thanks for hanging in there with me today. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please hop on over to iTunes. I haven't mentioned this lately, but you know, it's so important. I would love it if you could leave a review and a rating for this podcast. And let me tell you why it is so important. Because it helps get the show noticed by other knitters so I can keep on podcasting, you guys. And also, we can help share the love. Your rating and review will help me to greatly impact others and get the word out to more knitters and those wanting to learn this craft that we are all so passionate about. Also, if you have a special knitting story, I would love to hear from you. And if you feel that this story will help and inspire others on their own knitting journey, then go to powerpearlspodcast.com and click on the Tell Your Story link and leave me a short voice recording with your story and why you think it should be featured.